Are you ready for it? Welcome to Enchanted, a Taylor Swift podcast. For us three Swifties, this is our holy ground. Every episode will consist of us breaking down a Taylor Swift song based on her lyrics, when she wrote the song, our own connections to the song, and of course, throwing out different theories based on our girl's love of a good Easter egg. Come back, be here every Sunday for a new episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to Enchanted, a Taylor Swift podcast. We are so excited that you are back with us because today we are jumping into one of my personal favorites, I Knew You Were Trouble. And I mean, I feel like this is the first time Taylor just like really busted out of that little like country cocoon that she had been in. And I was like, damn, this girl is fun. So I cannot wait for all of us to chat about I Knew You Were Trouble. What do you guys think?
Well, you mentioned fun. So I think we need to at first focus on all the memes and the sounds that go along with this song.
Screaming goats.
Mainly the screaming goats. That's what we're very much talking about. If you own a screaming goat, I would love to meet it someday. That's all I've ever wanted in my entire life. And to meet Taylor Swift. Actually, if I can meet Taylor Swift while she's holding a screaming goat, that, I mean, pinch me, because I'm probably in heaven at that point. That's all I ever wanted. So every time I think of this song, I instantly just think of screaming goats, and I always go, like when, you know, the screaming goats would. But I like this song too. I will say this is not a favorite of mine, just because I think that it was so overplayed when it originally came out, and it became kind of just annoying to me. But then the screaming goats brought it like a second life, and now I'm lying on the cold hard ground. I always say now I'm lying. Like a lion on the cold, hard ground. That's what I always say when I sing it. So, but that's
very country of you.
Yeah. That's where I am at the moment. Christina, what about you?
I agree. I think it was a very overplayed song, so it fell out of favor. But when it first came out, so good. I will say with the re-recording, I was hoping we were going to get the little monologue at the beginning from the video. If you watch the video, she has like the little like poetry where she's talking. Oh. And I was like, oh, that would be so like epic to start the song off with. But we didn't get it, which was a little sad.
I just remember when the video came out, like that I thought was like one of her best videos, because it was just so different. And I think that's what, like, I always picture the video in my head when I listen to it.
Her, like, not chopped the screaming off, goats. Like, pink hair.
Yeah. Like badass.
Very rocker looking.
Yeah. The middle of like a rave or whatever it is.
It was a very well done song for the time.
Yeah. Don't get it twisted. Great Taylor Swift song.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think we can all three agree this is a great, and it became, just like Meredith said, kind of like the introduction to a lot of people into the Taylor Swift fan base, because they were kind of like, oh, she's just a country girl. Like, and then she comes out and does something like this, and we're all like, oh, who are you? And so that's where it kind of, I think, blew us all away. I'm reading through the lyrics right now, and I just thought about this. In the pre-chorus where she says, and I realize the joke is on me.
Mm-hmm. She was never good at telling jokes, so.
She was never good at telling jokes.
The joke was on her.
Oh my gosh. I just, that put me in my place, I guess. I also want to know the places that she'd never been, that this individual flew her to. I've always wondered that for my entire life. And I just want to know.
Is it an actual place, or is it this whole concept of, you know, the scarf meaning more than just a scarf? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like a metaphorical.
Yeah, some places.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
It reaches climax eventually. That's what I think you're saying.
Yes, sex. That is what I'm talking about.
I mean, who's gonna say it?
I feel like I'm the one on the podcast so far who brings up sex every episode, so it's fine.
You are in the red room for people at home that can't see. So
the room is still red, yes. But maybe just, that's what it means. Maybe it's not a physical place.
I just love going off of that, that it does turn dark and you know, you have to really question where she's taking you after she starts the whole song with Once Upon a Time. Like she pulls you, like she pulls the fairy tale out from under you. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
Like that shit does not work.
I never thought of it like that, Meredith. I really like that evaluation. That's really good. And then it's like, it's just kind of funny because, you know, we obviously know who most of the songs, if not all, on Red are about. So then when you hear things like, I guess you didn't care, and I guess I like that, and when I fell hard, you took a step back. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, oh, maybe the gentleman who we know that we're pretty confident that this is being discussed about, right, is we're seeing that he originally led her on, and she was like, okay, this is the relationship. This is the one that I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. Like, this is going to work, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. This was only supposed to be like a fun little thing. I don't want to be tied down. I don't want all of this. And it's even more funnier to think about the age difference between the two in that time frame, right? Yeah. Because at 19 years old, I would argue, I say this as somebody who got into a relationship at 19 and then married that person, but you know,
been there.
Yeah.
Been there.
So it's like, normally at 19, you're not thinking about spending forever with somebody. You're thinking about you know, maybe this will work out. Maybe it won't. We'll just see what happens. And then for Jake to, I said his name, for that individual to just automatically and be like, yeah, player's going to play. So I'm going to play. And he did. So yeah, that's an adorable dog, by the way, Meredith. For the folks at home that can't see, Meredith is holding an adorable little dog and they're just perfect.
Pina just really needed to be a part of this. So she is.
What I think is interesting though is, well, first off, I was in a relationship at 19 that I was like, oh, this is my soulmate. I'm going to marry this guy. That didn't work out clearly because I did not marry him. So I really resonated with that whole part of the song. Like, I fell hard and then you took a step back. What the heck? But when you were talking about the lyrics about took me to places I've never been, what really popped into my head was the parallelism between this song and I Did Something Bad. Because in I Did Something Bad, she says, I never trust a playboy, but they love me. So I fly them all around the world and let them think they saved me. And it just like the connection there, I've never made the connection, but she's, you know, on Reputation, she's on the flip side. She's like, yeah, I'll let them think they saved me and all of that. And I'll take them to places they've never been. And we'll go from there.
Well, as you're saying that, Christina, in my head, I immediately then made the connection to I Know Places from 1989.
Oh.
So it's like, how does she do this? It. Like three different albums.
Yeah. So in I Knew You Were Trouble, she was the one being taken to places she'd never been. And then in 1989, she was like, okay, well, I know places we can go. Like that maturity. And then in Reputation, she's like, yeah, I'll just flip the script completely and I'll be the one taking you to places you've never been. So it's growth.
Props, girl. Props.
You know, and one other thing about this song is it has one of the shortest bridges in a Taylor Swift song, but I would argue one of the most impactful bridges as well, because we're saying, and the saddest fear comes creeping in that you never loved me or her or anyone or anything. And it's like, dang, girl, like you really just said this person truly does not give a crap about anything. So I don't know. I always thought that that was so interesting when we talk about how Taylor Swift is just a masterful engineer at building a bridge in a song. Mm-hmm. And then we get something like this on one of the most popular Taylor Swift, one of the most well-known popular Taylor Swift songs, And I think that she's proving that not having tons of words is still impactful in a way.
Well, yeah, it's just the poetry there. She just says very little, but it leads you to think about all these things and people where you're like, okay, well, you don't love me. And I have this like really scary feeling, like I feel bad for you. It's like sad that you don't love anything in your life.
Yeah.
And it just goes back to this whole kind of theme throughout of this guy who is kind of cold, pretentious, and kind of disconnected from the world, and how she was like trying, like innocent and trying to connect with him. And she's realizing, no, he can't connect with anything or anyone.
Do you think that nothing new was written before I Knew You Were Trouble?
Ooh,
maybe. I could see that.
Because at first you have to look inwards, right? And see if there's something wrong with yourself. Like that's what I always go inwards first. And then I'm like, no, literally I'm awesome. This person is the issue. And so then I just thought about that as like, I wonder if nothing new was actually written before I Knew You Were Trouble, or if they were written at the same time.
Do you think maybe she wrote it while going through the drama that was this relationship, because that was planted in her head? Like, oh, she's just, and I think you can kind of think about it when you get to I Bet You Think About Me, how she parallels the differences between someone who grew up in Beverly Hills and someone who grew up with kitchen table bills. And I feel like she was being told over and over, well, you're never going to be more than this. You're only popular right now because it's what's trendy. And maybe that's where nothing new came from. And then upon further reflection, I knew you were trouble. Your dog agrees.
Peanut agrees. She's sad but true. She agrees. Yeah, I don't know. I'm now like looking at the lyrics to Nothing New. And I think it could go, I mean, no, we're not talking about Nothing New, but I think it could just go either way. Like, I'm just going to take this like totally off topic, so I'll just keep it to myself for another day, but
save it for Nothing New. There's so much to unpack in that song.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So much. But I Knew Your Trouble will just always be
so
damn fun.
Can I ask, Meredith, why is this one of your personal favorites?
I think it was just like, I still remember it being like 2012 and just like replaying this over and over and over again in my car. And it wasn't like I was in a bad relationship. Like I was with my then boyfriend who became my husband. And I say it like that because he has since died. So it was just like, I don't know. I just felt like it was badass. Like she just was like unveiling herself, and, you know, to have gone from being obsessed with Love Story to this, and just the complete difference in music and tone and the way that she carried herself. I was like, wow, you can really evolve. Like, I feel like that was the first time I saw somebody really have like an arc. And not just keep it like, okay, this is how I came into the music industry, so this is how I'm going to stay. And she like continues to do with every album, which is just something that I really, really cherish, because I don't think a lot of people do it.
It's funny because I have that same mentality about I Did Something Bad on Reputation. That's mine, where I was like in a healthy relationship. Everything was fine. Like nothing was wrong. But I put that song on repeat so many times because I was like, yes, this is what I needed. This is what I wanted. I have nothing to relate it to other than the fact that I want to feel like the baddest bitch in this particular moment. And
yep.
So I get that. And I respect that, because I was just curious, because it's, and I completely agree with you now that what you're saying, is because I did have this one on repeat for the longest time. And then when it went to the radio and the radio was just playing it over and over, I was like, all right, guys, there's All Too Well. And so we should start playing that one just a little bit more on the radio. Just my personal opinion.
Next track five.
So I guess in 2012, Cody's mindset, he was done feeling like the baddest bitch and was just ready to cry his eyes out for a really long time. So
who wasn't
in there? Yeah.
What I think is interesting too about this song though, is it shows. So Meredith, you were like, oh, she pulls the fairy tale out from under you. But the fact that it is kind of reflective, like I knew you were trouble when you walked in, but I still let myself fall for you. And I still let myself do that. And I didn't feel like I didn't follow my intuition. It's kind of like that reflection back. And I just think about how many times that I've been like dated someone and I'm like, yeah, this is not great. But then you just kind of let yourself be in it because you are still kind of stuck back to that fairy tale outcome, that love story-esque, you know, marriage, whatever it might be, whatever you're trying to figure out. And I think that's why I connected with this song in numerous parts of my life, being like, I knew something was off, but we'll just keep going.
But I think that's why so many people like this song, is because no matter what you've been through, you can connect to it. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's a friendship or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic. Like, you know, when you meet someone, whether or not it's going to be good for you, mm-hmm. but sometimes there's just that lure. Like, we just get pulled in and we're just like, okay,
yeah,
it'll be fine. Even though we know it will end terribly.
We do need to talk about one thing though.
Go for it.
Oh,
now listening to Taylor's version, did anyone else feel like she lost some of the edge on the dramatic yes. O's?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
because she's happy.
Well, also I think because her voice is mature and
that too.
And she yeah. did this album originally around the age of 22, 23. And that like maturity, her voice has gotten finer and deeper and is not as childish. And so it did lose a little of the playfulness, I felt.
Yeah, like some of the punch. Mm-hmm.
You know, I say this, I would have been okay with her completely redoing this song as well. Like release Taylor's version, right? As what she did. So that way people have that and they can play it on the radio, so on and so forth. But then give us I Knew You Were Trouble, the way that you kind of, if she wanted to make it more adult, more mature, at the age of 32 instead of 22. You get what I'm saying? You feel me?
Like give it a false god vibe.
Yes. Yes. If I had a false god vibe to I Knew You Were Trouble, you know, now you got me thinking about false god.
Oh, yes.
Making connection.
Because, I mean, think about it. False god is kind of like, you know, this could be bad, but I'm still going to go for it anyways.
Or I'm going to change him. Yeah. I'm going to find the good.
So, but I think false god is a little bit more, maybe that's why I love that song. We'll have to save that for another day.
Well, I was even going to say, even if she had put on this album, I think it was the Reputation tour where she really slowed it down. I Knew You Were Trouble. I like have to find the video. She like slows it down. It's got this very like deep huskiness and it's like very sexy. Like that's almost what I wish that she would have put on instead of maybe like the acoustic version of like State of Grace or whatever, because I feel like you're right. That would have shown maybe a little bit more of that maturity. Cause I just remember like being in awe of that, watching it on stage. I was like, she's like a sex pot. Like what is happening right now? But like, I'm here for it.
Or like the really heavy, like rock and roll version from 1989, that world tour.
Yeah.
That was, I Knew You Were Trouble, wasn't it? When she, it was like heavy rock and roll type. Mm-hmm. That was
maybe good. That it was, I couldn't remember which concert it was. Right. So which tour.
All right. Well, should we do our ratings?
Oh yeah. That's important.
Oh yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Did we do it? I can't remember. Did we do it after out of 13 or 10?
Out of 13.
Okay. That's what I thought. You know what? I'm going to go with a 13. There's just something that I will always just be connected to this song for. Will send me back to being 24 and being like, yes, I'm mad, but I don't have a right to be. And I will always resonate with that.
I like
Cardi
it.
Cardi C.
Okay. I'm going to go with a strong 10. Just hear me out. Okay. Before you cancel culture me. I love this song. It is a great song. When you compare this song to multitude of Taylor Swift songs, it does not compare to me. And it's very like, it's not the oomph that I need in that moment. Still a great song. A great song when you're angry, put it on your angry playlist. A great song when, you know, you have a partner break up with you. And even if they weren't trouble, even if they were the nicest person in the entire world, you can still listen to this song and vibe with it. And it's still great to listen to. But yeah, unfortunately, I am going to give I Knew You Were Trouble a strong and healthy 10.
That's nice. I was going to go with a 9. Sorry, just because it's one of, for me, it's one of the most skippable tracks on Red. On Red Taylor's version.
Okay. Because
on the original Red, but.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I think part of that is, as we discussed, that it was a little overplayed on the radio. And yeah, I think lyrically it has some good pieces like the bridge, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's not one that I feel like even when I'm angry, I can connect with, especially after we got Reputation. But it's just one of those songs where it was great in the moment and then it just kind of faded for me. And I do feel like on Red Taylor's version, it lost some of its power. So it's still a good song. I wouldn't delete it from the whole catalog. So I think 9 is where I'm at.
Respect it.
And well, before you all see Meredith go off on us for giving that not a 13, we hope that you have a great rest of your Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever the day of the week that you are that you're listening to this. Apparently I can't speak today. So have a great rest of your day and we will catch you next week. Bye-bye.
This episode was sparkling. Don't you let it go. We are just as excited to meet and connect with you as you are to meet and connect with the one and only Taylor Swift herself. So go follow us on Instagram @EnchantedPod and tell us your theories, favorite songs, and so much more. See you there.